This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, we talked about it earlier, but to reiterate, one of the top stories of the day, certainly, surrounding Philip Rivers. He retired after the 2020 season, and now he is rejoining the Indianapolis Colts on their practice squad because they don't have anybody. I mean, the Colts have been absolutely decimated. They got Riley Leonard, who is now questionable. Anthony Richardson, obviously out. Daniel Jones, now obviously out. They have Brett Rippon. Why not give, you know, Brett Rippon a shot? No, they're not going to go that route. They want to go with Philip Rivers, who was coaching one of his son's high school football teams, I believe. So they're like, you know what? He's running the Colts offense, so I saw Adam Schefter, or maybe it was, I think it was Adam Schefter that tweeted something about that. That like they liked how well he was running that offense. They're going to bring him in to run it on the field. If he actually makes the, like, is he gonna go? Or are you going to go with Brett Rippon? Like, where are we going on this?
I would go with Brett Rippon. This has got to be so embarrassing for Brett Rippon.
Uh-huh. You know what? And I'm going to go here. I'm just going to do it. We finally got past this time now. Nobody is saying, why have they not called Colin Kaepernick? You know, I know I'm bringing it up, but we're finally past that time, Mike, where we can just, nobody's talking about it anymore because you'd rather go with a 44-year-old potential Hall of Fame guy, I'm not sure if he does get in, than whatever that would be. Isn't that crazy? Faith says Tyler Warren is the emergency quarterback. Yeah, this is the competitive side for the Broncos is like, okay, that sucks, injuries, whatever. But like a fan, it does really suck for the Colts because the Colts were putting together something pretty cool. And yeah, GoPoke says, why would you do that? Yeah, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying we finally got past that. We're not doing it anymore. And I want to acknowledge it. Sometimes you have to acknowledge what's not being acknowledged, and that's what we do on the show.
Freddie, there are a couple articles.
Oh, there are? So people are complaining about it?
Yeah. NFL fans clamor for Colin Kaepernick to get another chance as Colts quarterback.
I didn't see that, I guess.
That one. Now, this is may not be legitimate because it's Fox News. Burn!
Yeah.
And then there are a couple Yahoo Sports, which I didn't know they existed. And MARCA, which I don't know what that is.
All right. Well, good enough. Big 12 commissioner came out. Brett Yormack calls out Notre Dame's Pete Bavecna. We're going to say Bavecna now. We've changed his name, Michael. I know you can appreciate that, throwing a little nerd culture in. Brett Yormack took issue Tuesday with Notre Dame athletic director criticizing this week of his criticism this week of the ACC calling his behavior egregious. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand this. Make it make sense to me, Mike. Make this make sense to me. Help me out here, okay? The commissioner for the ACC is Jim Phillips. Jim Phillips wants Miami to get into the college football playoffs over Notre Dame. Miami is in the ACC. Notre Dame is not in the ACC when it comes to football. You're mad that the commissioner of a conference that you're not in was pushing harder for a team for the team that is in your conference than you. You're mad at that, and you're saying that this relationship might be severely ruined or severely damaged. What world are we living in, Notre Dame?
We are living in Notre Dame's world, where Notre Dame is a lord and king, and everybody else is a subject.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is so full of itself.
They're mad that Jim Phillips basically said in a statement that the conference stands behind its efforts to support and advocate for all 17 of our football-playing member institutions. Am I missing something? I mean, seriously, like, what did you want him to do? No, you know what? We want Notre Dame in. I get that we work with you. They don't need Notre Dame. I mean, the ACC, I don't know, but they don't need Notre Dame.
Well, in football, yeah.
Well, there's an ACC team in the playoffs, and Notre Dame's not in. So, although, yeah, you could say they needed them because Miami beat Notre Dame, and that's why they got in. So there you go.
Yeah, they need Notre Dame because Notre Dame is better than a lot of what they have. Notre Dame's better than Florida State. Notre Dame's better than Clemson. Notre Dame's better than NC State. Like, Notre Dame, they're legit.
Yeah. Moving on. Do you remember, Mike, we should, do you remember Quentin Jammer?
Do remember Quentin Jammer. Wasn't he with the Broncos for 1 year and the Chargers for 80?
Yeah, he was with the Chargers primarily. He was on, he posted this story on X randomly. True story. In 2011, I played completely crap-faced drunk. He didn't say crap. In at least 8 games. I don't know why, but I just remember Ashley Lee getting a really cool catch over Quentin Jammer, and he was asked about, like, who was that? Who was the corner on you on that play? And he's like, Quentin Jammer. Like, he was so pumped about it. And then I wondered after that post, was Quentin Jammer just so sauced, and that's why Ashley Lee, who really didn't have a long career, got a catch like that? No, that was before. 2011 was, Lee was long gone at that point, but wow. That's pretty impressive, I guess, that you were so smashed you were able to still play a few games. He played drunk in the last 8 games, Quentin Jammer says.
Some people say that they are better drivers when they're drunk. Not sure if that's the case. Wonder how he played.
How do you play cornerback? Like, I don't know how you play any position drunk, but how do you play cornerback drunk? Don't you, like your attention to detail has got to be, like, amazing, right?
I can understand coked up, because those people just have so much energy.
I don't know.
Like, you can be a coked up werewolf and be like, yeah.
Now, to be fair, like, I know we're joking around a little bit, but, you know, he was talking about he had a lot of personal struggles. He had a divorce that led him to alcohol, and that, you know, he was not in a good spot or anything. But he talks about playing drunk, actually. So things got so bad for him, he was playing hammered. We've heard stuff like this before. You know, if you read George Carl's book, I forgot what the name of his book is. What's the name of George Carl's book, Michael? I can't think of it right now, but I have it in my office. Furious George. Furious George. Thank you, Michael, for efforting. You didn't get there.
That's creative.
Furious George. He talks about Allen Iverson showing up with alcohol in his breath all the time to practice and stuff. So it is fascinating when you get, like, those. When you're growing up watching sports, watching games, you kind of just have this image of players and who they are and that they're all these great role models, and they're not. They're just entertainers. They can be great people, but that's why you should always kind of be careful. You don't want to turn into Michael, or you're building weird statues in your closet. They are still, yeah, they're flawed. They have issues. They probably deal with mental stuff once in a while. They have loss. They experience everything. And sometimes they might not handle it the best way. And sometimes they're just not good people. It happens.
Weird statues in my closet?
Yeah, don't you have, like, a John Elway statue or something in your closet that you made out of, like, I don't know what?
No, I don't remember where I bought it, but I did buy it, like, 20 years ago.
It's a statue, though?
It's a little statue. If I remember to take a picture, I'll show it.
Do you put candles around it every night before you go to bed?
No, it is. I don't, but it is next to a Broncos lamp, coincidentally.
I would imagine you put some candles around there.
I do have candles at home, but not for that purpose.
Do you think Myles Garrett's going to break the sack record, Mike? He's running away with this thing.
How many
sacks
do you have?
He's at 20 right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he will.
He's 2.5. I mean, he's 3. To break. So Strahan and TJ Watt have the record collectively, like, or tied. They both had a 22.5.
So TJ Watt really has it.
Yeah, well, Strahan got a sack. It's legal.
He got a sack, but like Brett Favre's like, okay, fine.
Yeah. Here we were talking about, you know, who was going to be, if Nick Benito could get there. Nick Benito is having a phenomenal season, Mike. He's tied for 3rd in sacks. He's at 12.5. He's a half a sack away from Brian Burns. He's had a phenomenal year. But Myles Garrett has just ran away with this thing. 20 sacks for him. That's amazing. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. He should get it. I would imagine he gets it. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't. He's such a freak of nature, man. He is a ridiculous-looking human being.
And his work ethic. I mean, the guy just puts his helmet down and goes after it.
He does. Yep. Sometimes he takes other people's helmets off and beats them with their own helmet, which is even worse.
I'm going to be honest with you. If he wasn't such a phenom, he probably would not be in the league. He would have been, like, suspended for more games, and the Browns would have cut him. No, Browns.
Yeah, the Browns.
I almost said Steelers, but that's who he beat.
That's who he, yeah. Yeah. What will Myles Garrett be remembered more for, then, by the time his career ends? The sack
record?
I'm going
to remember him for the helmet.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people will.
If you're a Browns fan, you'll remember him for being the only good player on your roster for many
consistently.
Years.
Consistently, yeah.
And for probably breaking the sack record. For most people, it's, Myles Garrett, do you remember that time he hit the guy
because
on the head?
Because didn't he take Mason Rudolph's helmet off and then used Mason Rudolph's helmet? Didn't he use Rudolph's helmet on his own head?
Yeah. Made him red-nosed Rudolph.
That was bad, dude. I'll admit, like, that's up there for one of the worst things I've seen from an act of violence in the actual game. That might be the worst in a football game. Is that the worst one?
Yeah, the worst that I've seen. It's worse than the Tennessee guy stomping on the Dallas Cowboys' head. I mean,
that's worse. Yeah,
he caused blood. He got suspended for 5 games. But Mason Rudolph, like, even though he was mad, he shouldn't have tried to take off Myles Garrett's helmet. Like, Mason Rudolph was wrong, and it was right for the NFL to suspend him.
Yeah, they were both wrong. It's just the act of now taking a helmet and hitting someone in the head with it. Yeesh.
Yeah, the only people I think, and I actually agree with the 2 offensive linemen who went after Myles Garrett, because, like, that kind of fighting is, in my mind, even though it's wrong, it's okay because you're kind of protecting your quarterback.
All right, so Ed Orgeron, former LSU coach, has been making the podcast rounds, Mike. Did you get the clip I sent you? First off, let me just say this, even though I sometimes screw up his name, because it's just, I don't know why, Orgeron. I always want to say Orgeron, but Orgeron. I love anytime this human talks. Now, he was on with Will Compton, his podcast. He was talking about, you know, when he got back into coaching, head coach, like, or if he were to get back in, how would he navigate through this current world of the NIL, Mike? And you've already heard Ed Orgeron and talking about, like, when LSU told him they were going to give him $17 million, they're going to fire him, but here's $17. He basically said, where's the door? Like, I'm out. Kind of refreshing to hear it. Here is Ed on this Will Compton podcast.
We all know that SEC was NIL before NIL. We're way past it. Can we now just admit it?
It's all good. Hey, you know what? I say, hey, coach, you know, you've been out of coaching for a while, and how are you going to adjust that NIL? I said, well, it's a minor adjustment. And they said, what do you mean? I said, back then, we used to walk through the back door to cash. Now we just got to walk through the front door to cash.
I mean, we all knew, right, that stuff's happening. But to hear a coach that has obviously been around for a long time to actually say it like that, I laugh. I'm not, like, knocking Ed Orgeron. This is the system that's allowed. But I just laugh because so many people were so many people throughout my life have always said, I like college football more because it's pure. If we only knew. Like, it's the furthest thing from pure.
Yeah, college football is about as pure as those diamonds in those cornerback's earrings that everyone has. Like, where did you get those diamonds? Mm. Oh, I found it on the street. I didn't buy it with the NIL money that suddenly appeared in my back pocket.
Yeah, and people that complain about NIL now, oh, these guys shouldn't be getting paid. Well, they already were. I mean, maybe not at every level, but they already were. These schools were figuring it out. Hell, Ed.
Now it's legal.
Ed Orgeron was talking about trying to get Adrian Peterson to USC. His Adrian Peterson's dad was in prison in Texas. Orgeron like went to California government to try to see if he could get. This is a true story. He tells us on the podcast, Mike. He said he tried to see what it would take to get Adrian Peterson's dad moved to California prison, to a prison in California, so that he could watch USC games so they'd be available on whatever network cable they get in prison there. Obviously, he said he wasn't even close. There's no way. But the simple fact that he tried, these guys will go, they will stop at nothing to try to get players onto their teams. I don't know. If you are a coach that's good enough to coach in the NFL and or college football, I don't know why in the hell, I mean the money, but outside of that, you would choose college over the NFL. The NFL is way easier. Way easier, Mike. You have a roster. You know who your roster is. You have one way to get them there, and that's to pay them with legal money that's in your salary cap, although you gotta stay within your salary cap. Although we're hearing different random stories of NBA players like getting endorsement deals. What was the story with what's his face that owns the Clippers? That there might be some like, hey, here's the contract, but we are also gonna get you some more endorsement money, which is what I've always wondered. I always wondered like why players and teams don't just do that more. Hey, we're only gonna give you $10 million, but we can hook you up with like 14 of these endorsement deals here. And they'll cover what you wanted. So we'll make it's. I mean, it's all over the damn place, man. I would imagine at the pro level, it's crazy too. But at least you know you have a guy under contract. Did you hear Troy Aikman coming out talking about the UCLA player? He's like, yeah, I gave money. I gave NIL money, and he's like, I'll never do it again. He said he's done contributing to NIL after a UCLA player took his money and left. He said he played there 1 year and I didn't even get a thank you for it.
Who was it?
I don't know. I don't know if he mentioned it.
I'd have dropped a name.
He told Richard Deitch of The Athletic that he donated once to get one player at UCLA and that one player proceeded to transfer. That player proceeded to transfer to another program. And that led Aikman to decide he's done with such donations. He said, I gave money to a kid, I won't mention who. I've done it one time at UCLA, never met the young man. He was there a year, he left after the year. I wrote a sizable check, and he went to another school. I didn't even get so much as a thank you note. It's one of those deals to where I'm done with NIL. I mean, I want to see UCLA be successful, but I'm done with it. They're talking about it now. Like, the illegal stuff that was going on 20, 30, 40 years ago, we just talk about it now like it's nothing. Isn't that wild? You got Troy Aikman just flat out saying, yeah, I'm writing side. We all knew they were writing checks, but where were they putting that money? He wrote that check so that they could give it to this kid to come to UCLA. And that's supposed to be illegal, kind of, right?
If I had like billions of dollars, would Ed Lamb be my best friend? Would he be like, hey, Micah, let's go out to a restaurant and hang out?
I don't think Ed's that kind of guy because he seems like he's not. But I just think it's hilarious, man. And I grew up, man. Oh, college, it's pure. These kids just play the game. They go to college and they get their education and they care about their alma mater and student support. And, oh, yeah, man. No, they're there because of the monies, man.
That's how I used to feel, too. I used to be like, I mean, 10 years ago, I was like, I was the same way. I probably spoke in that voice. And now a lot of them don't even use that.
Do you think people are going to get like Troy Aikman? Donor fatigue. So if I'm a big time donor and your coach is coming to me and I'm saying, Coach, what do you need? We got to have $6 million. We got to have $6 million more because we got to get an offensive line. All right, it's going to take $6 million. Okay. I love you, Coach, and we won't win. We're going to win here. So I'm a billionaire, so I'm going to write you that check. Okay. Go win them. Keep these guys here. Okay. They get that $6 million. They disperse it to these offensive linemen. Next year hits. Let's just, for the sake of this argument, they all leave. Coach comes back to that same donor. Hey, Coach, I'm gonna need you. Man, I gave you $6 million last year, and all those dudes left. When does it end? Like, can you guarantee that Billy Bob's going to stay there if I give you another few million? Are we going to start seeing donor fatigue? I'm curious.
If we have donor fatigue, I hope all of it is on Warren Buffett's end. Because he's a Nebraska guy, and I don't want him giving any money to Nebraska because I want Nebraska to suck.
Okay. Good for that. Aaron says, Georgia is suing a former player for not holding up their end of their NIL agreement. We're already seeing that. Like, that stuff's going on, too. What a time to be alive. I saw Coach Bruce Dick, who had a great show today. Coach Speak was awesome. More state champions. He commented on one of my posts about college athletics, and he just said, college, the NCAA, is exhausting. Last night, sitting down on my couch, watching basketball, I can forget about all of it. But sometimes when I'm watching basketball, watching football in the back of my mind, I'm like, how much is that guy making? Does he really love it there? Does he really love UConn? Does he really love Florida? Maybe it was never there. But it's now more than ever. It's like some schools have it and some don't, but you kind of can't help it. You're watching these games and you're taken out of the theater of the moment because you're thinking, are you going to be able to keep that dude? CSU fans watching Kyan Evans all year last year. He's so good. He's sophomore. He's coming on strong. He's going to be the next Isaiah Stevens. But every game, he just gets a little bit better and better and better. And then your brain's going, ah, crap. Like, we're not going to be able to keep that dude. That's tough. You can watch the Broncos, though, and you can go, they got Patrick Surtain locked up for several years. Nice. You don't have to worry. Oh, I got another pick. Great. You can just cheer. Yeah, you got to sign these guys to contracts. You don't get everybody, but typically, you know, you try to keep your studs. And it happens in the NFL when you lose your Micah Parsons of the world. Coming up this Sunday, by the way. But in college, it is an exhausting sport to watch. It is an exhausting thing to support as a fan when you get new players coming and going every year, and then you hear about the money that's on the table, and you hear about why they left, and certain guys leave for money, and then they don't get any playing time, and you're like, when does it end? And right now, it doesn't.
And it's tough when you're one of those guys who are like, I have a lot of things that I'm interested in. So my attention is split amongst a lot of things. So I'm not paying attention to UW football a lot. So a lot of times, beginning of the season, I'll be like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, that's why.
I don't remember this guy. He's a senior. What happened to the other guy?
And that's why, whether it's me or anybody that comes on in August and says, here's what I predict the standings to be. If they say that with ultimate confidence, they're wrong. Now, I come on and say, here's what I think's going to happen based on one dude I like it from this school and the fact that that school lost their coach and the fact that that guy got hurt. Here's what I think. Don't bet on it. Now, when it comes to the picks or on Friday, everybody knows that. That's a different story. But when you pretend to know what's going on with these teams, you have no clue. But to hear Troy Aikman talk about that, to hear Ed Orgeron talk about that, man, it's right in front of us now. They talk about it, and it's a joke. And I like Ed Orgeron, but it's a joke. It's a joke. And to say that this is a competitive balance at all is also a joke. And that's why I'm saying for these G5, G6 schools, whatever they end up being, if the CFP feels pressure from Notre Dame and company to change the playoffs to a harder way to get in for G5 schools, I would bet you're going to see G5 schools work on some kind of a joint lawsuit. Like antitrust kind of deal. Like, hey, this isn't fair at all. Now you're saying we can't get in, basically, because you'll never rank us. You'll never rank us. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break here. When we come back, I don't know if we can find the Paul Feinbaum clip, but here's a question for you. Should CU have ever left the Pac-12? Think about it. Learn it. Love it. Live it. We'll be right back.
Stuffer.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Download your favorite KFKA podcast today.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into the show. The Broncos take on the Packers this weekend. Michael, Packers are a pretty darn good football team. This will be a pretty significant test. Sean Keeler is going to join me from the Denver Post in the final hour of the show. He caught up with former Broncos legend CJ Anderson. And CJ was doing the same thing I was doing a couple weeks ago, making the comparison from this team to the 2015 team. And how they're winning and how, but he said, CJ said something that I also said, that there's a lot of similarities. Here's the two differences. On the defensive side, they're very good, but they're not creating the turnovers. On the offensive side, they're better. Bo Nix is playing better than both Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler that year. What?
I yelled Bo Nix.
Bo Nix. Okay. Your Broncos Tourette's are acting up again. Jordan Love. Now, the next few quarterbacks for Denver, these are going to be tough. You got Jordan Love. You still got to see Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence. Talk about a team playing with a chip on their shoulder. That's Jacksonville certainly is that. And you got to see Justin Herbert again with his weird-looking arm. Did you watch the game Monday night? Did you watch Herbert and that, with his left arm, how it was all... It just looked like a fake hand, like... I don't know. One of those movies where it's just a fake hand sitting
there. Kind of reminded me of Scream 2.
Scream 2? I don't remember that enough.
Give me a hand.
No, that's not another scary movie. That's a scary movie.
Not another scary movie.
That's just scary movie.
It was making fun of Scream.
Yeah, it was making fun of a bunch of those scary movies. Well, it wouldn't move. Like, he'd be running and he'd hold the ball and it just, like, wouldn't move. It reminded me of Ernie Munson from Kingpin when he had the rubber hand. And he can't move the hand at all, the fingers. You just have to hold it out there. That's what it reminded me of. It's crazy that he actually played in that game. They're putting pins and a bunch of things in there. And last week, and suddenly he's playing a football game, man. That could have messed him up for a long time.
He got hurt again.
Yeah. He's a tough dude, though. He won't answer any questions, though. He doesn't want to talk about the injury. He's a tough SOB. I'll tell you that.
Did he get fined for not answering questions?
I don't know. It was right out on the field. Kind of snubbed the reporter there and ran off.
Well, that's not very nice.
How concerned are you about this Packers team coming up? This might be a contender in the NFC. I know the Rams are getting all the talk, but you know the Packers are pretty damn good. They have a couple of issues, you know. But as far as what they're really good at, damn good at... you know, what they're doing per play. Their offensive efficiency. They don't have a lot of turnovers. Great interception rate. Getting to the quarterback. They don't do it consistently, but they do get to the quarterback. Micah Parsons is having a phenomenal year. He's at 12 and a half sacks, I believe. So, I mean, he's rocking. his new team is treating him just fine. Now they've been hit with the injuries though. Obviously, their stud tight end or their good tight end, Tucker Kraft, who was having a nice year, now is on IR. But he was, I think he was second on the team in receiving behind Romeo Doubs. Doubs is 45 receptions, 542 yards, 5 touchdowns. I would imagine Patrick Surtain's going to be on him quite a bit. But Tucker Kraft being out. Christian Watson, though, it's a pretty good player right there. So this is going to certainly be a challenge. And if the Broncos can pull this thing off against Green Bay, let there be no doubt anymore. Like, it's at home. I get that. But Green Bay, I think a lot of people do look at Green Bay and think that could potentially be at least a team that's going to the NFC Championship. So what is this team? What are their weaknesses? Like I said, the defense, the pass rush, they're just not very consistent. They can get sacks, but they're not pressuring outside of those sacks. So like with the Broncos, they're getting after the quarterback. They're hitting the quarterback even when they're not sacking him. You're getting kind of all or nothing with the Packers. They're not very good in late game situations. Denver's very good in late game situations, so check that one off for the Broncos. This could be a great opportunity for Bo Nix. Their safety production hasn't been great for Green Bay, so this could be a nice game for Bo and company.
Set your feet.
If he's calm back there, yeah, everything seems to look much better when he can calm down. 12:40 of the time, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA. All of the lights.
Turn up the lights, man. Potential Super Bowl matchup between the Broncos and the Packers. A rematch from that first Super Bowl win for the Broncos in the late 90s there, Mike. It's got a little
32.
History. A little history there to it, right? This one's for John, Mr. Pat Bowlen. May he rest in peace.
This one's for Micah.
No. You always got to just... We're talking about something cool. We're getting into it. Hey, Broncos, Packers, and then you got to throw something weird in there that a child would throw in.
Who's this one going to be for now?
This one would be for who?
Yeah, this one's for John. This one's for Pat.
For Sean,
this one's
probably,
for you.
Right? Sean Payton? Yeah?
This one's for Sean.
This one's for Sean. Do we keep that going?
He already has one, but like, it's got to be epic and unique.
Well, I just think, Sean Payton's trying to get in the Hall of Fame. Or you go with the ownership group. Because
this one's for Walmart.
This one's for Walmart. Yeah, that's what we do.
This one's for the Walmart greeters.
This one's for Walmart. Great extended Black Friday sales going on the rest of the month, by the way. Anyway, congratulations, guys. We did it.
Can we be brought to you by Walmart?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That'd be cool. I like Walmart.
I do too.
They're getting expensive, though. They're getting a little more expensive.
Everyone's getting a little more expensive. Walmart, by the way, has the Legos.
Yeah.
But not
all
as
right.
Great.
Again, a drop-in that a child would add. So thank you for that, Michael. Appreciate that.
Diamond Valley Collectible has better Legos.
Diamond Valley Collectibles. They do have the Legos, man. At a reasonable price, too, compared to what Walmart's doing. I'll tell you that. So this one's for Diamond Valley Collectibles. 12:47 the time. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got Buy or Sell. We'll catch up with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. And yeah, C.J. Anderson, loved C.J. Anderson, drawing those comparisons between the 2015 Super Bowl team to what we're seeing now with this Broncos team. So it's a lot of fun. We'll have that chat with Sean coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll wrap up hour number two coming up after the break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Avalanche games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is- Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Glad you guys could be with us here. Good to be back, too. It was a great day yesterday for the Weld Gives Day. Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint went 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It was interviews with great nonprofits throughout Weld County and Northern Colorado. It was a fantastic day. And so great job by them and everybody that was working on this. The dude down the hall, I know, doing a great job with the graphics and the pictures
raised.
And the money that was raised. And even Michael Kirkpatrick played a big role getting the podcast up. I mean, you're putting a different podcast up for every single interview. So that was a lot of work on your part.
A lot of people came by. Like, that, I was the first person they saw, and they were like, hey, can we see the Legos in your office? And can we see that
every time
pass?
Today, we're going to do this every time. Just going to interrupt wherever we're going in the conversation, and you're going to just derail it with something that, again, you know, a little maybe child might say to interject themselves into the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Do that all day.
Yes, I figured I would.
Buy or sell coming up in the final hour of the show. Eastside Chris says, maybe if the Broncos win the Super Bowl, dude, this one's for Brian. Because might be a while for the Vikings. Yeah, I heard Brian talking about that today. It's a rough go. But I guess it's cool. He became a Colorado guy once he moved here, and he gets the Broncos. So that's fair. That's fair. So it's good. Good for Brian. He at least has something. All right, I want to hit on the Avalanche stuff from last night. That was a wild situation with the goalie, the shootout, and where we were with Wedgwood, and that was crazy. They pull him out in like a really weird time. So we'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the show. Also, Sean Keeler will join us. So don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.